You're listening to The Deranged Nation, a true crime podcast featuring New York Times best-selling paranormal romance author and your host, Teresa Gabelman.
Welcome to Deranged Nation.
Hey, what's up, everybody?
Welcome back.
What's it going on?
So we are here with episode 15. We're doing pretty good.
Yeah.
It hasn't been months and months, so we're doing good.
Just
moving on up.
Moving on up.
In the numbers.
Yeah, it's been, it hasn't been too bad. Did you almost
cannon beans?
I'm getting used to my new setup here.
Yeah, Code's got a new setup over there. He's loving it.
It's comfy.
Exactly. I know.
No,
I'm just kidding.
We'll be throwing stuff at you.
No, this one's a sicko.
Yeah, this one is a sicko, but before that, we're going to do a little business. So, we do read comments. We don't, we're not always going to, what?
Well, I just laughed.
Oh. We're not always going to comment on them, because some of them don't really,
appease.
Yeah. But, you guys, when you do leave comments, we do see them, and we do appreciate them, even though some of them... I just want to explain something. When you hear the intro and you hear New York Times, I'm not advertising that newspaper. Okay? I'm just saying. I don't think I've ever read the New York Times, to be honest with you. But as an author, that is a list that you strive to be on. Yeah. You know? Yeah. And, hey, I made it. I'm on it. And I'm going to say it. So, for the person that decided not to listen, to the to the podcast, because...
Ours is not fake news.
No, ours ain't fake news.
We try
news.
To bring all the facts.
But the thing of it is, for the person that didn't want to listen to the,
except for the West Memphis 3, we still get a lot of whack. We still get a lot of hate.
We get some hate on the West Memphis 3.
We don't care, though. They're just trolls.
That's their opinion, and that's fine.
Most of the time, they're trolls.
Well, I mean, the nasty ones, yeah. But listen, you missed out on a good one. So just because it says New York Times, that doesn't mean we're promoting. It's just because,
title.
Yeah, I mean, it's just something that I accomplished, and yeah, I'm going to say it because I'm proud of it.
Beach.
But no, I don't really read that newspaper. I don't read a lot of newspapers, so there you go.
They're the ones that damage their own credibility, if anything, so.
Exactly.
But,
all right, on to the next. Yeah, this one is pretty deranged. This one is Count... Okay. Yes, Count Carl Tanzler von Kassel. That's a mouthful. This guy, this is 1931.
He looks like his name sounds.
Yeah, so. He does.
He looks like.
he
looks the way his name sounds.
If there's any better way to explain it, that would be it.
So supposedly this guy is a doctor, a count, and a submarine captain. And actually, he's not any of them at all.
Well, they did. There was a picture of him in a submarine.
Well, I could go to a submarine and get my picture.
Well, he did serve in, I think, the German service. I think he was in the German arm. Something to do with the German service.
That's what it was.
So yeah, he was
German
2 out of
military.
3.
So he wasn't a captain.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not exactly sure what he was, but I know he wasn't a captain.
He was weird.
He didn't have all the law degrees or the medical degrees that he claimed to have either.
Yeah, I think he said he had like 9 or something.
Well, this was in like what, the early 1900s?
This was 1931. Yeah, well, when this took place.
Probably didn't really have to have much of a resume back then to get a job either.
And he was old.
People just went on your work. Well, he said he had like 9 different degrees, and then they went back and looked, and there had no record of him ever going to some prestigious school in England.
He was
or something.
A con man, though. He was able to talk people into believing him, and he relocated from where?
Well, he wasn't even a doctor. He was just a radiologist. He just took people. He just took X-rays of people.
He
in the basement.
Okay, so he was born February 8th, 1877. He was from Germany, the German Empire. He died at the age of 75, so he did pass. And he was actually married, and had two kids.
Yeah, one of them passed in Germany, I believe.
And he decided, once he got to Florida, that he started working at a hospital as a radiologist.
Yeah.
And that's when he pretty much dumped his family.
Yeah. Well, he left them behind in Cuba.
Yeah.
He left them behind in Cuba, and I guess they separated for a while without actually having a divorce after his son died. Mm-hmm. Because he kept having dreams of a girl with brown hair who was going to be his bride, and he knew that he had to leave to find her.
Right.
That was his process of thinking.
Right. So, Carl was actually, and this is another thing too, Carl was born in 1877 and reportedly studied weather patterns also in Austria in 1910.
Damn, he was a jack of all trades.
Yeah, so... and what Helena was saying before, you know, he did have, and I believe, did you hear that when you listened to the, audiobook of his memoirs? Did you hear about, you know, him having like fantasies of a dark haired girl?
Yeah. He was having dreams.
Yeah. So
he had dreams.
I guess that kind of caused problems with his wife. Which,
right,
you know,
I understand.
Yeah, so, but he was a radiologist at the time when tuberculosis
hit. Yeah,
yeah. So, what happened was a Cuban American woman named Maria Elena de Hoyas walked into the hospital, and when he seen her, it was like looking at his fantasy.
Yeah,
she was 22 years old. I think the age difference between them was like 32 years.
It was a gap.
And she was really pretty.
Yeah.
She was gorgeous.
Well, she was married too.
Yeah.
And the husband dipped when she got sick.
Well, and she miscarried. She had a miscarriage.
And
he left her after she had a miscarriage.
I think
the sickness was coming on, and he knew how bad it was going to be, and just left her.
Yeah, she was like 22.
Yeah.
When she got sick. And her, a couple of them that I heard, her, she was a daughter of a cigar maker, and her mom was a homemaker. But they believe, because a lot of the sickness at that time, you know, was in like these bigger factories, like the cigar factories and stuff like that, because of the close contact, which
her whole family probably should have had their masks on.
Oh my goodness.
Oh fuck.
And here we go. And
we're not going to travel down that rabbit hole.
Yeah. So anyway, that's where they think that she, you know, probably her father brought it home or whatever.
Oh, I'm sure. So. Not taking proper precautions.
It's kind of hard to.
Or wearing face shields or anything.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know what it was.
Wash your hands.
Back in that day. But, Santa.
Yeah, but that was some nasty shit.
Yeah, it wasn't. We have the, in Louisville, what's the place called? The big tuberculosis hospital that's haunted now?
Oh, yeah.
Waverly.
What is it?
Waverly.
Yeah, Waverly. That was a huge, and it's still, that's one place I want to go. But anyway, we're off topic. So, she was born in Key West in 1909, and she started to get ill, so her mother took her to the hospital, and in walks the Count, who isn't really a Count. And I guess he pretty much, she was diagnosed with tuberculosis, and I mean, today that's actually considered, you know, still a fatal diagnosis. So,
so you can get a vaccine for it now.
Yeah. I had to, well, you know, I had working in the medical field out of one of the 100 things I've done in my life. I always had
You're
to
like
be tested.
The Count.
Yeah, you've
I'm like the Count.
Jobs is the Count.
Just call me Count Teresa.
Okay. You ain't got to do much to be a weatherman. Fuck, a they're wrong all the time.
I kind of like that. Countess.
Meteorologist.
Well, yeah. I can tell the weather. I'm usually, pretty, no, they're wrong.
Yeah. You know? That's not hard to do.
I know. So, despite the lack of qualifications needed to treat, he just fell in love with her, so he started doing everything he could.
He immediately thought that she was the one that was in his dreams, right? As far as I know.
Yeah,
he was
yeah.
Oh, this is her. This is the one that I've been seeing.
I mean, it was like instant love.
Yeah.
You know? And he didn't have the qualifications, but because he was pretty much just a radiologist. But he was doing all kinds of, you know, treatments. She was believing him.
He delivered hope for her because all the other doctors told her that it wasn't possible.
He was
building
equipment. He was stealing shit from the hospital and like taking it to her house and like giving her in-home treatment after like the hospital already was like pretty much go home and die. And
right.
He was like still trying to save her. And
yeah, I mean, he actually did everything, you know, he could kind of gain the family's trust of him because, you know, he's trying to save. I don't think they really knew the motive behind it. But despite his best efforts, she died of the illness October 1931 and leaving her family and newly obsessed caretaker heartbroken. He insisted on purchasing a pricey stone mausoleum in Key West Cemetery for her remains to lay, and the parents actually gave the permission, hired a mortician to prepare her body before locking her inside. He was the only one with the key. They did not have a key, so if they...
Well, he feared that the body would be in water during the rainy season.
Right.
And being on Key West.
Yeah.
I watched something that actually, I guess that after a hurricane, it upearthed
had to
a
move
bunch
bodies.
Of bodies in Key West.
And he was hoping that would keep it protected, I guess.
Everybody listening right now is probably thinking, this guy doesn't sound that bad right now.
Just wait.
You know, like,
yet.
He didn't kill her? Like, what?
No.
He didn't kill her?
No, he didn't.
Just wait. Big curveball. Big curveball coming.
So... He actually visited, and the family didn't realize that he was the only one that didn't have the key. So I guess somehow, I mean, I'm thinking this, probably somehow anytime they wanted to visit, he made sure he was always there.
Well, right, he hired the concrete guy that built it.
I think he did it all.
Like the first guy he hired didn't show up or something.
Yeah.
So then he hired another guy, and that's probably how he got the key.
Yep.
So
I mean, fuck, he paid for it. He built it.
Right. It's a nice. I mean, it was it was pretty big. When I seen the picture of it, I was like, holy crap! That's where, you know, did he make that good of money? That's another thing. I mean, how did he come with all his money?
He must have just racked it up over the years.
Yeah.
I mean, being a radiologist back then, he probably made decent money.
Yeah. For that time period, I guess. I don't know.
I mean, God knows.
Yeah, because I think he bought her all kinds of things.
Oh, he did.
Jewelry,
he bought her.
And dresses.
Yeah.
And a new bed.
Yeah. He bought her all kinds of little
flowers all the time.
Heirlooms.
Heirlooms.
Inside joke. Some Red Dead joke.
Yeah.
So anyway, old Carl... He visited her grave every night for nearly 2 years, a habit that stopped abruptly after he lost his job for reasons unknown. Did anybody find out why he lost his job at the hospital? I couldn't find anything. I did look.
I would only assume maybe they found out about his qualifications.
That, or they had to have found out about him stealing shit or something. I mean, because he was taking all kinds of stuff out of there.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was. He
even after she
this
died.
This is speculation, too. This, we don't know.
But I think, because he was taking stuff, because he was trying to preserve her for those 2 years.
Go.
So, for like 2 years that she was in the mausoleum, he was trying to preserve her body the best he could.
Yeah, everyone, what you're thinking in the back of your heads right now, you're correct. You're correct. Just know that I know what you're thinking. You're right.
Right. And the family did consider the drastic change in his behavior after, you know, losing his job, and then not going to the mausoleum was a bit strange, but they couldn't even imagine the reasoning behind it. What was the reasoning behind it? Who knows?
I guess we'll never know.
So now, 2 years deceased, he was left with the task of maintaining her corpse. He did this and needed, as needed, inside an old airplane. I thought it was a spaceship.
Oh.
Yeah, it was an airplane. He was building it.
I thought it was a spaceship.
It was evidently, he was a pilot, too.
No, hold on. Hold on. He stole the body. He took the body out of the mausoleum.
Yeah, he took
on a little red wagon.
Well, first of all, before we get too far,
yeah,
there's a telephone in the mausoleum.
Oh, electric, yeah. a pipe organ. He had a pipe organ in there, so he could play music. Yeah, you guys are right.
He wanted the phone in your heads. So he could call whenever he was away to check on her.
Wonder if he would have crapped his pants if somebody would have answered him. I mean,
hello.
Yo.
Hello.
Quit calling me, you creepy motherfucker. Oh, fucking God. Dead.
So, you guys are right. But, so he ended up taking her to. Well, after he got fired, he lived in like a shack, more or less. And that's where the airplane / spaceship, whatever the hell it was. /
laboratory.
Yeah. Laboratory, whatever. /
morgue. / love shack.
And they've got a picture of him. They've got a picture of him in this like dress shirt with these shorts.
Rolled up.
Khakis.
It's just odd.
Yeah.
It's just odd.
I told
odd.
You, dude. This he looks like his name odd. Sounds.
What?
He looks like his name sounds.
He does. You're right. You're absolutely right. So, he did a number of things trying to keep her body from decaying. He used plaster of Paris, which I'll never look at that shit the same again. And seriously, I mean, yeah. You just think about that
He stuff. Shoved rags and stuff where her boobs were.
Yeah. Put rags were her, yeah. And then, where now? What about the hair? Because you told me. Because I heard something different, but I want to hear what you have to say about the hair.
He said, and because what I would listen to was the audio book of his journal, and he said in his journal that he had made a promise to her. She had asked him to preserve her body even after death. And I guess her mom felt the same way, and he told her he was going to take care of her, and he said when her hair fell out, he was going to get her a wig, and her mom said, well, don't give her a wig. She said that I got her hair, locks of her hair, and her mom gave him the locks of hair for him to have a wig made.
When she was alive, not when she was dead. When she was alive, right?
She had her hair cut when she was alive.
No,
yeah.
I know, but her mom said
after death.
Her mom wanted her preserved after death.
According to his journal, yeah.
Well, he's whack because they had no idea. No way.
You could obviously, if he's having visions and she's coming to him in his sleep and stuff, he was whack.
Well, yeah,
something was loose up there.
So. He takes her.
I didn't say he made sense. That's what he had written down in his journal.
Yeah, he's whack.
Wickety whack.
It just tells you his mindset.
Yeah.
So he takes her out of the mausoleum, puts the casket on a kid's red rider, was that what they're called? Wagon, and dumps it. Once, right?
Yeah, he dropped her once.
Yeah.
2 years after she
had
died.
And this is in the middle of the night.
And this is 2 years after she died. So she was stinking.
She didn't smell like flowers.
Yeah.
Rest her soul. She went through a lot, but.
Yeah, God, I mean, the poor thing. Because you know she didn't agree to this.
No.
You know, this is all against her will. Talk about women's rights. I mean, she had no You know what I'm saying? None. It's like, it's terrible what he did. I mean, we're kind of... It's just so unbelievable when you read it and listen to it and watch this stuff that somebody would really do it. And you kind of have to put a little sense of humor into stuff like this because it's nuts.
It's depressing.
It's crazy.
It's sad.
So anyway, he takes her to his lavatory / shack / airplane / spaceship, whatever. So there, he is trying to his best to keep her as preserved as possible. And it's Key West. It's Florida. It's 100 degrees at least, and it don't get cool. I'm sure it don't get that cool in the winter. So you know the smell has got to be horrid.
Well, I mean, was air conditioning really a popular thing back then?
He took his time to lace and tie each one of her bones together.
With piano string.
Yeah.
Yeah, well...
To keep her bones together, that way when he plastered her, he could, you know...
Anytime that's the... I mean, he tried to preserve her skin with, like, oils and silk stuff, the plaster...
Been 2 years too late, bud.
Yeah.
And, I remember
he used
saying,
a lot of formaldehyde, too, and I got a feeling that's why he got fired from the hospital.
Right.
Or, you know, I guess you can get that at the hospital. I don't know.
Probably.
You know, I have no idea.
Well, he paid extra to have her all doctored up before the funeral, too.
Right, but that was just to beautify her.
Still.
Makeup and good clothing. Hair done.
Well, we even talked about feeding her when she was dead, like giving her liquids and fluids and stuff. Said he thought it was going to help her skin come back, start growing back.
Well, when the body isn't alive, it's not going to work like that. Doctor.
I know that. He's a
doctor. Dr. Count. But he scraped mold off of her face, too. He said something along the lines of, I had to be careful when I pulled the top layer of the mold off to not ruin her delicate skin.
Yeah. So he like you said, he stuffed her torso with rags in an attempt to preserve its original form. He covered her scalp with bits of real hair, which was her hair. He added tons of perfume and flowers, disinfectants, preserving agents to keep the rotting odor at bay. And use mortician's wax, trying to, like, for the form of her original features.
Right.
You know, I mean, that, I guess you can give him credit for trying, but it's just, I don't know, man. He had it wrapped in a dress. He had gloves, jewelry. He would place the body in his bed, which he shared with the corpse for 7 years. With a corpse for 7 years.
And laid with it every night.
So a little story on me is here we go again, I'm kind of like the count. I used to do hair. All right. And I worked for my first job as a beautician, hairdresser, whatever the proper term is now. She was awesome, but everybody called her when someone in their family passed to do their hair. And, you know, I was young, and I thought, well, I don't know why, but that would be kind of cool, you know, to get into. Let me tell you, that's not for me.
No.
Not for me. I mean, it's a whole different vibe, and I can't even explain that. You know, I actually tried to do my grandma's hair when she passed, and it just, I couldn't do it. I can't imagine being with, I don't care how much you love them or whatever, for 7 years, I couldn't last for half an hour. You know, it's just crazy.
The body looked like a third grade
you guys
art
have,
project,
yeah.
Dude, like a paper mache.
He used
glass eyeballs, and like,
so they were always open. I'm dolls freak me out. Chucky's well, he even Miami.
Said he even said that at one point she came back to life, and he told her to lay back down because she was trying to sit up or something.
Yeah.
And he was afraid that she would damage herself.
Yeah. Wait till the spaceship's done. The spaceship thing that we're talking about, in different things that I've read and seen, he felt that if he took her to space, that there's something, radiation or something in space that would bring rejuvenate her or whatever.
And they could be in peace together.
So pretty much what happens is the entire town starts talking about this man. He's seen buying women's clothing and perfume. They never see him with a woman. One boy, a local boy, witnessed him dancing with what appeared to be a giant doll. Yeah, that gives me chills. And so her family starts getting suspicious. Like, what is going on? Something's off. So Elena's sister shows up at his home or whatever it is in 1940. And she says, I want you to take me to the mausoleum. I want to see my sister. I want you to take me to the mausoleum.
I want to make sure she's in there.
And this is 9 years after she died. Yes. Because remember, it's 2 years in the mausoleum and then 7 years in this motherfucker's house.
Right. So he says, we don't have to go that far. And he lets... I read two accounts. One, he let her in and took her to her sister. And another one said that she barged her way in.
No, I read that finally he broke and was like... Because I think they said that we know she's not there.
Yeah.
Like, take me and show me that she's in the casket. And he was like, all right, I'll show you where she's at. And then he brought her in the house. And
yeah. So, she couldn't believe what she saw, her sister, she couldn't believe, she didn't believe it was her sister. So she called the police, demanded for an autopsy, and it was,
he was arrested, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't, he was held, but he got out on a bond. And what happened after that?
Well, he was charged, but because 7 years had passed, the statute of limitations, he got off. He got off of all charges.
He had, I think the only thing they actually got him with was defacing of a tomb.
Yeah.
Yeah, but statute of limitations.
It was still the statute of limitations. 7 years
later.
Yeah, but I think they still got him with that. He had to pay a fine for that.
I don't think so.
Because he went back
later,
remember?
Mm-hmm.
Like, in your face, this is what that really looks like. This is what defacing the tomb really looks like. When he blew it up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he did blow up that tomb.
Yeah, so he went in to get a psychiatric evaluation, and they determined that he was competent, he was sane to stay in trial, although some reports state that his ultimate plans involved flying her high into the stratosphere so that radiation from outer space could penetrate her tissues and restore life to her form. Yeah.
Well, like, back then, like, they didn't know that he was, how do I put this, screwing the corpse. So.
So.
They didn't know that back then. But no, some people were praising this dude, like, because of, like, they were calling him, like, they thought it was, like, the craziest love story they'd ever heard. And, like, some people were, like.
They actually put her body up on a pedestal.
Well, during the autopsy, it was
fucked up.
The body revealed a paper tube inserted between her legs, forming a makeshift vagina. Although he never admitted to committing any necrophiliac acts, so
who would? you're dancing with her, you're probably
screwing
her. But
you said in the 70s.
Yeah, in the 70s is supposedly when they actually found out
that he was actually having sex with his
forensic evidence started to actually rise.
You guys were right. Right when we... Right when I told everybody that was listening before, yeah, you were right. He was fucking it.
So, despite everything, the statute of limitations had expired for the crime, and he was accused of committing, and he was free to go. Her body, and this is so sad, and I heard he's probably in his 50s now, I guess, 60s maybe. He was a boy then, and he actually seen this, and he said, and to this day, it affects him. But her body was placed on display at a local funeral home where nearly 7,000 people came to see the corrupted corpse for themselves. Her body was finally laid to rest once and for all in an unmarked grave in Key West Cemetery. And I seen an interview of the grandson or great-grandson of the funeral home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've seen that
one. Yeah, that said that
they're the only ones that know where she's buried.
Head of the chief or whatever.
Yeah, they're all probably dead now.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. But I think he said he was the last living one who knew the secret of where she was still buried, because they did it in an unmarked grave so she wouldn't be tampered with and could rest. But they put her up on a pedestal for all these people to see 9 years later.
Yeah.
Like it was a hopeless romantic act.
It was a different time back then.
Yeah, I don't know. Even though a different time,
but still,
it was a rotting corpse, though. Like that's just weird. Like, how would the family allow that? If that was me, I'd be like, absolutely not.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
No matter what.
Well, did you see that picture? The one kid was like standing above it, like looking right at. Like,
I mean, it's creepy. Eye. You guys go on YouTube. I mean, the picture, you can find all the pictures.
Yeah.
Yeah, just type in Dr. Tanzler.
Yeah.
And it'll, yeah.
He looks like I don't even know what.
So, he actually received quite a bit of compassion during the trial, with some even viewing him as a hopeless, eccentric romantic. You know, I write some shit. But never in my wildest dreams would I ever think to write something like that. That's crazy. He went on to live out the rest of his days alone and died in his home in 1952. In 1952, the police were called to an abandoned house where they found a body of a 83-year-old man dead with a life-size doll wearing the death mask of Elena. His last entry in his, whatever you want to call it, journal, diary, whatever.
Death mask? He had her face again?
I thought it was a photo.
He made one. He made a copy of it, like, out of wax and stuff like that.
So he died with that on her, with that on him, on his face?
Well, no, he had a life-size doll of her.
So he made really a doll.
He made casts of her body.
Yeah.
Before she like totally.
So he made.
So it wasn't her, because they buried her remains, but he made something, and I guess continued with that with the death. That's what they used to call it back in the day. I guess a death mask. I don't.
Well, that's even.
Because I read something.
I read that he went back to his other wife. I read that something that he went back to his other wife.
Close.
Or he took the doll with. I don't know. Fuck, I don't know. Sick fuck.
Well, I would say since it was so far back that a lot of. You know, it's kind of like when somebody tells a story and somebody adds something to it and before you know it.
They put their own twist on it.
They didn't really have a lot of ways of.
There's a lot of different
storing information.
It's like I heard one thing about the hair. You heard another thing about the hair. So it's one of those.
Yeah, because I guess what I read was about they found him with a photograph of her, like a big portrait that he had made, I guess.
Right.
That's what I read.
Yeah. So
who really knows? But that's believable, without a doubt.
Well, as crazy as he is, I mean, and his I guess he was in love, but I just that's like way
up. It's like that's everlasting real, that's love.
Not that's not love really, more than it is obsession.
Obsession.
It's yeah. crazy, dude.
And downward spiral from there.
Yeah.
way down, or maybe way up into space.
Way up into space.
Yeah. Where he was heading for.
But his last entry in his what journal, memoir, whatever, was human jealousy has robbed me of the body of my Helena. Yet divine happiness is flowing through me. I didn't say Helena. I said Elena. You looked at me like, what? Not me. Anyway, okay. Human jealousy has robbed me of the body of my Elena, yet divine happiness is flowing through me, for she has survived death forever and ever. She is with me. And that was his last.
Aww.
His last entry.
I mean, that's kind of sad, man.
It is sad.
Because they probably couldn't really find mental issues like that out yet. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, what did they know about people with mental issues? Clearly, he had them.
Yeah, clearly. Clearly.
There's but a lot of people who walk around sanely but have problems.
Can you imagine what her family... Oh, my gosh.
And to feel like they let it display, all
why
go
did they
on,
even
kinda?
Let? Why did they let that happen?
No way.
That her body and 7,000 people go to observe, you know...
Bones and remains and... erosion, like
but that,
what?
It creeps me out when I've seen that. It was, you know, and like I said, I've got a phobia.
We looked at each other like,
yeah, I didn't really believe that part at first. I was like, are you serious? Like, damn.
I mean, I have a phobia of dolls. Yeah. I really do. And see that, I'm like,
a human
no way
doll,
in hell.
Pretty much.
No way in hell. So, you
God
know,
God rest her soul.
I'm just kind of a researchy type of person. And I just wanted to see, I mean, I've heard of necrophilia, I've heard of it, you know, whatever, but I was just kind of, you know, because you have Ted Bundy, Jeffrey Dahmer, there's like a whole list of people that have done things like that, not I don't know,
not
I guess so that
to
that
but they didn't this guy was a little different because he didn't actually kill her.
He didn't kill, right. He tried to save her life, but he...
I can only imagine how it would have gone if she would have survived, though.
Yeah.
You know what I
well,
mean?
Well, and from what I understand and what I've heard, I mean, even from her family, she had no romantic...
No, it was all hope, him. Only because she thought he could save her life.
Right. And she was 22. She was young. She didn't want to die. I mean, I see it, but... His infatuation just went
AWOL, man.
Yeah.
He went. Believed that she had romantic feelings for him, though, too.
So, it's kind of crazy because there are different things about necrophilia, the legality of it. And I looked into that because I'm thinking, man, you know, for somebody to do that, they'd have to be put away forever.
Right.
Not true. There's different laws in different, you know, parts of the country. Us in the United States, there is no federal legislation. Say that.
Legislation.
Thank you. Specifically barring sex with a corpse. Multiple states have their own laws. So, as a whole...
Right, federally we don't, but as a state, that states have laws.
Wouldn't you think that federally we should?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you
anybody
would.
Got an opinion on that?
Guess I mean, they leave
I got
it to
a
the
few,
state,
but we're not
going like, to
go down that road.
Yeah, I know. I mean,
we'll keep
I mean,
that
states
for a different podcast.
Laws, you know,
okay,
so
for instance, Alabama, it's a felony class C. Alaska, misdemeanor.
And what does
class
that give
a.
you?
A
felony class C, what is that?
I don't know.
8 years?
Probably 5 years.
I don't know. But there's different things. Massachusetts, N.A.,
so.
Not available.
Or
they didn't want to tell you.
New Mexico, NA. North Carolina, NA.
Not available.
South Carolina, NA. South Dakota. Now, our great state, it's a felony of the fifth degree. And our neighboring so
probably
state.
Probably get a fine.
That's disgusting.
Kentucky.
Hey, get out of there.
Is a felony class D. So, yeah.
Fucking Carl again down at the graveyard. Carl, get the fuck out of there. God damn it. Carl.
Put that shovel away.
We're going to give you another fine.
But.
It's your third one this week. Damn it.
I can't.
But anyway, poor Elena, God rest her soul. She's at peace now, so.
Yes, rest her soul.
Yeah.
Shouldn't have had to go through all that, dead or alive.
You know, Carl may be, you know, burning in hell right now, but.
Who are we to say?
Who are we to say? Exactly. It's just our opinion. Anybody else have anything on that?
No, I'm done.
Are you done?
I'm done. I've said enough. I've said enough on this one.
But yeah, wait. We say deranged. Yeah. And that one was. And there's. Yeah.
There's actually like a bunch of other people that actually like lived with their corpse and stuff, you know?
Yeah, I did see that. I was going through suggestions and stuff, that there's different more countries cases. Too.
Yeah. So.
Fuck, if all it is a fine. I mean,
what do you mean? Like they hang out with the corpse, or
yeah, like they're. I seen one lady that this one's kind of funny. I seen one lady that actually her husband died, so she didn't tell anybody. So she put him up in a chair so he could watch NASCAR.
Aww.
No shit. So actually, she put him. All right, set honey, him up
what
in
do you
want to
watch?
Just put me on.
This time, what do you want to watch?
He's just asleep. Just
put
so
me on
good.
YouTube.
He's snoozing.
Just
so.
Put you on YouTube.
Just let YouTube play. Oh god, it's
no, dude. You're playlist. You're sorry.
Yeah,
I can't do that. I'll be freaking out. He moved. I know he moved. I didn't put him there. I didn't put him in that position. You moved. Haunted and shit. Yeah.
No way.
Oh, well.
Yeah, that's just
bring me a pack of smoke and a Coke.
Recline your chair.
Recline my chair every once in a while.
You wouldn't need much hair to patch him back up.
Oh, we're terrible. This has been
Shit.
That's terrible. All right, so we have an update, and this is from episode 11, the East Fork mystery, the disappearance of Paige Johnson. And this is a one where they kind of knew who did it, they just couldn't really prove it. And I'm going to move my microphone, so. So, a man who police have long believed was the last person to see Florence teen Paige Johnson alive has been charged in connection with her death and disappearance in 2010. And this was announced on Tuesday. Jacob T. Bompas, is that how you say
Bompas,
his name?
Yeah.
Was taken into custody just around 1 p.m. Tuesday, prosecutors said. Police have long suspected that Bump ass was the last person to have contact with the 17-year-old.
Bump ass.
Is there more?
That's the one that gave him a ride, right?
Yeah. Oh, and then they were blaming.
At the party.
Yeah.
At a party.
Bump ass.
He has been indicted in the Claremont County on gross abuse of a corpse. People, leave that shit alone. And tampering with evidence charges. Officials said that the case is still under investigation and other charges could be added.
Well, if you're tampering with evidence, there's a reason you're tampering with
exactly.
Evidence.
So.
And they know that. They'll get him.
We'll kind of keep.
You can't tamper with it if you don't know it's evidence.
Right.
We'll keep you guys informed, but we kind of had an idea well, that
yeah,
was going to come down.
We all said he was probably the one, but.
Right.
They didn't have enough evidence to actually charge him with the murder.
Right.
Like, what's.
Well, and there was.
How many years ago was that?
I'm sorry.
How many years ago was that?
2010.
10 years ago? Yeah.
Well, they did a news conference that we watched, and the head guy said who was involved in this should be really nervous right now. Yeah. So that pretty much told us that they knew. And they were it took them a little bit because that's been...
I don't remember when we did that.
Do we know what it was that gave it away? The guy in caught?
Yeah, it was a cell phone.
Cell phone pings.
Yep.
And
probably their pings were probably together.
Right now? They just now got that?
They know. They had that information.
I know, but what just now made them arrest them?
I don't know. They haven't said much about it at all.
Trying to see, like...
Well, I think, too, other people started...
Yep.
You know...
Yeah. I'm sure he spoke to people.
I don't think he's been in front of the judge
they
yet.
They found the body where the cell... I remember now. Age is being okay with me today. I do remember. They found her body, remember, at East Fork.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it was near the tower where the phone pinged, and they were connected. They were seen in that area. That's what brought on that news conference. So they were pretty much saying
he was the last one seen around her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whoever was involved. So that's what it was all about. But
they did find her body a while ago when we did the podcast.
It might have taken a while for forensic evidence too, because if there's gross misconduct with the corpse.
Well, the thing of it is, if
they found evidence of his DNA on her.
Got that virus and slowing everything down.
Yeah.
You know.
The vid. Yeah. Slowing everything down.
Can't say the word because we'll get banned from YouTube.
Yeah.
The vid.
Well, and the thing is, too, I mean, another thing is, you know, they don't want to go fast on this because they don't want the asshole to get away.
Yeah.
So they want to make sure they have all their
P's and Q's and
ducks. In a row.
They're ducks. Or they're geese in a row.
They're geese in a row.
Or maybe some bighorns.
Yeah. I'm just kidding. Red dead. All right. But that's, yeah. And like I said, no disrespect. We weren't trying to be disrespectful to Elena at all. You know?
No.
I mean, respect. I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy at all. But something is deranged. And, I mean, you have to have a little bit of a... I mean, when I it was really
tough skin.
Yeah, and to kind of get through something like that, but
yeah,
it's strange. Cody, were you getting ready to say something?
No. Oh, was the tough skin a dead body pun?
No.
Oh. No, but it could have been.
Yeah. However, you guys want to take it.
Exactly. All right, guys. Well, hopefully you'll hear a new one. Here in a week or two, so we're doing pretty good.
Yeah, stay out of the graveyards. Fucking weirdos.
Keep your masks on.
See ya.
Keep your masks.
All right, guys, have a good week, and we will see you soon.
Find us on YouTube, Anchor, Buzzsprout, iTunes, Spotify. Like us, subscribe, share. There will be pictures up, I'm sure.
Yeah, or just go and look, man. Yeah. Listen to this and go and look.
Yeah.
It's creepy.
Deranged Nation.
You've been listening to the Deranged Nation podcast. Join us every Wednesday night for a new episode as we bring you true crime, unsolved mysteries, and other deranged stories. This episode was sponsored by Braps MX and ATV Pro Shop. Visit them at brapsmx.pro. Also, visit our host, TeresaGableman.com, New York Times best-selling paranormal romance author of the Protectors series, available on Amazon.com. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube.